What's up, bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. Back at it again.
I'm two hiding. Nights
in a row.
Right. Recorded two nights in a row this week.
Hope everybody's having a lovely Tuesday. Yeah, so Stevie, tell us, what's going on in the book world?
That would be a good question. That's a good question. Had to grab my handy dandy.
Oh, if you're a follower of MJ, if you're not, you should be.
Way to self-promote.
I gotta pimp myself out somehow. Anyways, if you're a follower of MJ, I have a surprise. Today, ARCs for Courage for Fools went out. If you're a blogger and you signed up for the blog tour, ARCs are in the wild.
In the wild.
They're out there in the jungle with readers. I'm so excited. I'm so nervous. It's so much different than the Fury series. I think this is a really good, like,
change of pace.
I think it's a really good, well, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for. I'll think of it in a second. Anyways,
For something new.
Yeah, I think it was a very good starting point for something new. Fear not, Fury lovers. I will be doing a next gen. It just will be next year. I just had to get a little break from the hockey. But yeah, I think Courage for Fools was a really good, you know, like, way to get my head out of the Fury and kind of start messing around with some new stuff. I'm working on some stuff that's like super top secret. I've got some awesome news coming for you guys at the beginning of June. So follow me on my social media platforms so you guys can keep up to date with that. But yeah, ARCs are out in the wild for Courage for Fools, which means that's only, we're only, oh my God.
We're a week away.
We're almost a week, a little bit more than a week. It's like 9 days. 9 days away to the release. And I want to vomit with excitement and fear. So yeah, pray for me. But yeah, that's all for me in the book world. Stevie, take it away.
All right. Monday the 17th, Kim Lorraine is releasing Wild Ride. You can tell what's on my brain. Wild Ride, which is a new cowboy series for her. Piper Rain is releasing My Vegas Groom. I'm so excited. I just started it and I'm like bouncing off the walls. Charity Farrell's releasing book number 4. In her Twisted Fox series, which is called Chaser. And if you don't know this, all the books are related to alcohol terms in a bar. So it's Stirred, Shaken, Straight Up, Chaser, and Last Call, which is the last one. MJ's releasing Courage for Fools next Thursday.
I'm crying.
Who else? Brianna Lynn's releasing Written in the Beat, which I have not read yet. I can't wait to start that one, too. I'm excited. There's so many good books coming out.
I know. It's an exciting month. Oh, not to mention the fact that if you are a Gianna Darling fan, she is releasing part 1 of When Heroes Fall, May the 21st. So that's exciting. I'm hype about that.
Go ahead. Why don't we go ahead and read up the intro and get ready to bring on our guest?
Absolutely. I sure will do that. This intro is short, sweet, and to the point. So also, this lovely guest that we're having, we are doing a giveaway with her right now on Instagram. So make sure.
No, TikTok.
TikTok. My bad. We're doing a giveaway with her on TikTok right now. So make sure you guys go check that out. Enter to win.
Ends this Friday. When you're hearing this, it will be over. Never mind.
Oh,
I'll just release it Thursday. It's fine. You guys are going to get our episode early this week.
Okay. Well, anyways, enter to win. You have one more day to enter. But yeah, so this author, make sure you go check that out. And yeah, I'm going to read her intro and then we're going to jump right on in with some questions with the lovely Tori Alvarez, who is writing sassy, angsty love stories you can fall into. Lover of coffee, wine, and travel. Let's get into it. Thank you so much for joining us, Tori Alvarez. Welcome to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited and a little nervous, or a lot nervous, I guess.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. So how are you? How are things where you're at?
I'm good. This is Hell Week. I didn't realize when I scheduled this, and we're like so far in advance and should have looked at my calendar a little better. I'm an educator by day, and this is state testing week. And so I was on my feet all day today. It was,
My goodness.
Tomorrow, though.
Huh? What grade do you teach?
I'm actually an elementary counselor.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. And you know that you are utilized so much on testing week. That is where I stayed during finals.
Yes. Come tomorrow, huge ass glass of wine. Oh, can I cuss?
Yes, you can. Yes.
I dropped the F-bomb so many times in this podcast. It's insane.
We're only rated explicit for a reason.
Yeah, we're rated explicit, so it's fine. No, but thank you for all you do in the education system. You're super necessary and needed, and we appreciate you. It's not Teachers Appreciation Week, but I thought I would say that. We've talked to a lot of teachers. I befriended a teacher recently, and I just want to let everybody know that I appreciate you guys, okay? Especially during, like, now, because I think that parents have realized now more than ever how important teachers are.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been stuck at the house with their children.
She would have got a kick out of last night with Janine talking about carrying one and not coming.
Janine was talking about, she's like, all hail teachers and people in the educational system. She's like, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it. I want my kids to go back to school. So thank you so much for all you do in the education system. We are going to jump right into questions about your books specifically. I'm going to take the first question and then we'll teeter-totter back and forth. Yeah, and we're super excited to see what you say. So, Beautiful Collision is book one in your Graffiti Heart series. Love the title of that series. Tony is the girl who has a hard life and, like, every obstacle that you could possibly throw at her has been thrown at her. And Garrett is this guy who people just want his money and his last name and, you know, the deal. And so, what inspired this story?
Actually, working in the education, I get ideas there. So I do work in a Title I school district, which is, you know, I think it's like 80 or 90% in poverty.
Okay.
So, and I've been there for way too many years to want to admit, but I met this mom, I don't know, a decade ago, who I kind of fashioned Tony's mom after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, it started with how would a kid raised by that kind of woman turn out to be, or how could she be successful?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it all, the idea started, was by meeting that mom.
I love that. I love it so much. And mostly because, I mean, I probably, listen, I don't even know if it was a title once. I don't even know if it was ranked. But I am 9,000% positive I was at a Title I school growing up, okay? Like, 100%. Because I grew up in, like, a small town. So I want anybody understand. So if it's a small town, it's Title I, isn't it? I just know it.
No, but a lot of times they are.
So it just depends
on the percentage of families who live in poverty is how they call it a Title I.
Well,
you get more federal funding.
Put my ass right up in there. I was in the percentile. I'm not anymore as an adult, thankfully, but I was as a child, so it probably was. But yeah, I love, and I mean, you're inspired by people, and I feel like that's the best job ever, to be inspired by people. So I love that. That's cool. Yes. All right, see, take next question, ma'am.
Okay, Tony and Garrett's story was pretty intense. At first, you think that Garrett is going to save Tony, but she actually saves herself.
Strong women, please.
Yes, that when she comes off is not strong at all at first, but she ends up she's more strong than she realizes. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to write a female lead like her? Oh, well, obviously that just got answered. So,
but I mean, at the same time, though, like, she could have went either way with how, you know, she grew up.
Exactly. So I wanted her to be able to make it, but the characters speak to me. So a lot of times I have just ideas or certain scenes, and I don't have a whole story of how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But I wanted her to have that chip on her shoulder, because I've seen so many kids have that chip on the shoulder, that have that mentality of, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, there's just, it's impossible or whatever. And I wanted her to be able to give her the tools to be able to do it, but then she also needed that push to believe it herself. So yeah. Just kind of, that's kind of how it started evolving as I was writing it.
Well, I appreciate you staying true to that character. I mean, obviously I talked to you, so she was staying true to herself, but I appreciate you staying true to that character, mostly just because, like, so growing up poor, okay, you are told your whole life that you're either going to be just like your parents were, or you'll be the complete opposite, right? Because when you grow up in certain situations like that, you're either more prone to do exactly what your parents are doing, or do, because you don't, you want to be different and you want to be something, you know, better for yourself. But at the same time, if, even if you do do something better for yourself, you still have that like chip on your shoulder. Like that's there. That's like, oh, you know, I came from nothing. And it's like, people like me can't do that kind of thing, even when you are trying. So appreciate you staying true to that character. Book two in the Graffiti Heart series is Tragically Beautiful, and this is Alex and Lola's story. We have Alex, who thinks he doesn't deserve a girl like Lola, and Lola, who is just like drawn to my man. And so, like, what made you want to give Alex and Lola a story?
That was all the readers, because mm-hmm. Beautiful Collision was just supposed to be a one and done. It was, that was in my head, and I had already started writing another story. Completely different, another standalone. And then I started getting some reviews, and they were asking for Alex's story, and they were, oh my gosh, I love Alex, you know, write his story, or what's his story, are you writing Alex? And within like a month, I got like 5 or 6 questions if Alex was going to have a story. And I was like, well, I had never thought about Alex having a story. And I was like, where would Alex even go? So then I started, you know, just kind of started flipping around in my head and flipping around in my head. And then he just kind of, and actually I talked with an author. I was chatting with Kaz May from Australia, and she was like, oh my gosh, yes, he does. And she started bouncing ideas with me. And then that's how Alex and Lola, and it was weird because I guess it was fate, because Alex and Lola, it's another opposites attract.
Yep.
But they're so similar in trying to find something more than what they were just born into.
Yeah.
So it was weird the way I kind of modeled them, complete opposites, but so alike in the same way. And so that's how it was born.
I love when that happens, when side characters are just like, they steal the whole damn show. It's like, sir, ma'am, sir, you were not supposed to be liked this much.
I didn't even think about it. I just, he was, you know, who he was. And then.
And then he just uprooted and took on a life.
Yes.
Love it. Love a good side character. Side characters are my faves. But yeah.
When you have those best friends in the stories that just kind of like, oh, I love them more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because they're lighthearted. See, the thing is, the reason that people love side characters is because they're not going through shit. I mean, you can definitely put your side characters through shit, but at the same time, they're the ones that are like the lighthearted. They're like the ones that's being funny. They're bringing in the comedic relief while everybody else's life is going to hell. So, of course, you're going to like a side character. But yeah, Stevie, go ahead. Next question.
Well, and I would like to add too, is that you can also win a copy of this book.
Absolutely.
On TikTok.
Absolutely. Go enter that lovely contest.
Where am I at? Okay. Alex always protected his family and needed to make money, so we found a way. And one he had since given up. But the past, we've always learned, the past always catches up with you. And in the book world. So this creates a little bit of suspense. What made you go down that route to make it more suspenseful with the way that his, without giving too much away. I'm trying here. Yeah.
Well, again, knowing that they come from poverty, and knowing that sometimes people do what they need to do in order to survive. That's kind of where I put him. He has, was always the protector. He was always the one taking care of the family. He was, you know, he just took on that role for himself. So he was just going to do whatever he needed to do to make ends meet.
I mean, it's the thing. Okay. I know this is like, we're bringing up cannibalism right now, but let me just say, like, obviously cannibalism is illegal. Don't do that. Don't eat people. The way I just needed to preface by saying this, because the metaphor I'm about, the metaphor I'm about to blend together might not work if I didn't preface saying that. It's like, so growing up in situations where you have to fend for yourself and do what you need to do, people don't understand that. But like, at the same time, there are people who get stranded in the wild for like months and they got to eat their best friend's, their dead best friend's leg. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, human, I am not condoning cannibalism. I am just saying, like, for example, did you guys watch the movie? I think it's called The Andes, about that soccer team that was trapped in like the Andes mountains. Okay. And they ate their dead friend. Okay. Now listen, human instinct, psychologically proven that human instinct will kick in and you will do what you need to do to survive. And that is the same. That is the same.
From romance to cannibalism.
I know. But I'm bringing it back. I'm reeling it back. All I'm saying is, it's the same thing for people who grow up in poverty. They don't eat people, but they do, like, human instinct kicks in to do what you need to do to get the essentials to survive. And whether that be something that's illegal or not illegal or frowned upon, doesn't matter. You do what you need to do. So there's my little spill about cannibalism. But I'm not condoning it. Like, don't go eat your friend or anything like that. I'm just saying.
Well, and it's true. You said they do what they do. And that was another chip on Tony's shoulder, going back to Beautiful Collision, because she didn't want to be judged for how she made her money, because it was, to her, easy.
Yeah. And that's the and it's not. Okay. You got to do what you got to do. And you would do a 2-4 check. Okay. Jesus. that reminded me of a TikTok. Anyways. So if you're graffiti hearts, I can't believe I just talked about cannibalism.
You just skipped right over. Go ahead, keep going. Just keep going.
If your graffiti hearts series could be turned into a movie, who would you cast in the roles of Garrett, Tony, Alex, and Lola? Ooh.
Okay, so Garrett completely is Scott Eastwood.
That's my second author to name him in a series, and I'm all for it.
Fine as hell.
And in, oh gosh, now I'm just forgetting the movie. The longest ride, right?
Oh,
the longest ride.
Fine.
Oh my gosh. I mean, cowboy, just like right there. So,
Chef kisses.
And you see, I have to put her younger though. There's a couple of younger Hispanic actresses.
Yeah.
I just don't know their names. I'm not. But when I was first writing it, I always envisioned Eva Longoria, a younger Eva Longoria.
I think she's so pretty.
She really is. I feel like she never ages either.
Oh, no. Yes.
And a great actor. Actress, my bad. Let me put the yes on. And then Alex and Lola.
And you know what's so funny is the actress in The Longest Ride, the blonde.
Britt Robertson.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Britt Robertson.
That would be my Lola.
Oh,
she's just, you know, just that, just gorgeous girl next door type of, so. And Alex, I don't know. That one has always stumped me. I found this Instagram model though, Mario Rodriguez Jr.
Let me pull him up.
We always keep our phones in our nearby so we can look at people.
So I can look up. Lord. I like this one. Oh my God. His smile is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfair that people look like this.
Right?
He's gorgeous. Love it.
Yeah. See, so if he's an actor, like, that's him.
When people ask me questions like that, it's like Pinterest. I was like, I don't even know if this guy's an actor, but this man on Pinterest, this picture right here, is that's who, yes, I'm talking about. So I don't know if he can act, but that's it. That's who I want.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie, do you want to take the last question for the section?
Yes. So what is next for you in 2021?
Actually, I have a release coming out in June, a short story or a novella in an anthology, The Summer Heat. So I'm with seven other authors. There are eight of us. That's releasing June 21st. And then I'm currently writing, and I'm 12,000 words in, to Javi's story. So he will be the last of the Grief Heavy Hearts.
Have you released a title yet? I don't know. Have you released a title yet? Oh.
No, I just thought of it.
Okay.
I just thought of it last Thursday, I think. I was at work, the day job. And a word popped in my head. I'm like, that's it. So I have to keep it a secret for now.
Because
I don't know if it'll change, but right now I have Tragically Beautiful, Beautiful Collision. So you know what a word, one of the words is.
Beautifully is in there somewhere.
Right.
Yes. So yeah, I think that's it, but I'm still playing with it. So Javi will have his, and his will be the saddest story.
Oh no, don't kill nobody.
The most heartbreaking story.
Don't kill nobody. No, I'm gonna cry.
His book is gonna be a tearjerker probably, because I've just thinking of scenes. I was crying on my way to work a few weeks ago.
No,
thinking of a scene. But he has the heart. He has the heart, and just know that it has to be him for this one.
It has to be him. Don't do me like that. Oh no, I'm gonna cry. I can feel it already.
Look, most people hate when people, like, one of my biggest thing is people,
I thought you were gonna say I hate it when people die.
No, because
he's not dying.
What I noticed online is, we've noticed this in a couple authors who have been on here, that people hate when you kill off characters in books.
Like, not shit.
They are angry, and I'm sitting here like, am I the only person that thinks it's okay? I actually enjoy the heartbreak from it.
Yes, you are the only person.
Because Molly McAdams did it. Molly McAdams did it.
She's wicked. She is so freaking wicked.
She was so clever with it. We're about
to get knocked down, drag out fight right now. I swear to God we are.
Look, of course people get sad. This was one of her best books she's ever written, and she killed off a character in it.
Listen to me, Stevie. If I read books and I get attached to these people, they're my friends. And if you kill them off...
Did you read Taryn Quinn's book yet? Because that one had a death in it.
No, and that's exactly why. Because if I'm going to read a whole book and I'm going to be attached as fuck to this person, and then they're just like, done.
Well, I'm attached to them too, but it doesn't break me. Like, I'm like, I find, but they find so love again, and then I'm like, it's even better.
And I'm the one.
No.
I'm the one who likes dark romance in this situation. You're heartless.
No. Yeah, once you break my heart, it takes me a while to forgive you.
I will never trust you again. I can never pick up another book by you and trust you that you are not going to shatter my heart into pieces. And like, I can handle pretty much everything. Like, I can handle a good amount of angst. Like, I love dark romance, so I love angst, right? I can deal with a lot of shit. You can get beat up, you can throw my favorite character over a cliff and they live, or whatever you want to do to them. But when you kill somebody off, I'll never forgive Gianna Darling. I'll never forgive her. Ever.
And now I know what to do to add into my secret project.
Listen, I will never forgive Gianna Darling for what she did in one of her books. I'm not going to spoil it on here, but I'll never forgive her for that shit. So, see, that's what I'm saying. I love her, but I will never forgive her.
Well, just know you don't. He's not dying.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Do
you plan on starting a new series or doing something different after you finish this one?
Yes. So the one that I had started writing before Alex and Lola kind of took over and let me drop that one, I will be going back to that one. And that one is actually very different because it's more contemporary romance.
Okay.
Older characters. time lapses. So because everything I've written so far, my characters are in college. So this will be, well, I guess it will kind of still be in college because of the time lapses, because it'll be
second chance romance
type of book.
Are you trying to tell us that it's a second chance romance? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
not really, but
okay. Well, we're excited to see it. We're excited to see it. We don't want to do any spoilers, but we're excited to see it. We're going to hop on into my portion of the show. This hair flip. This is writing questions, where we get to know your writing style and all things writing. I don't even know another word for it. Articulation. Is that a word?
Yes.
Okay, so when did you first realize you wanted to be a writer?
Actually, I started really late. So in my 20s, I always wanted to be a writer, but at the time I was teaching kindergarten. So I thought I was going to be a children's book writer.
Oh and my
I
God.
Had the idea. Yes. So I had all these ideas for children's books, but I didn't have an illustrator. I can't draw. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of sat there for years. I've always been a daydreamer, and like random scenes and stuff would come up in my head. And I read somewhere that Coho started writing her first book while she was at waiting at practices for her kids.
Yep.
And I was like, well, that's all I'm doing too. So I was like, well, why not try it? So yeah. I did. And that's where my first book came out of, was sitting at practices for my daughter.
Hashtag read Colleen Hoover.
Yes.
Also,
Kat will know what I'm talking about, because me and Kat are on this whole rampage about telling people to make sure they read Colleen Hoover's book.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love Colleen.
Don't stab me, but I have not read her books yet. So
You said that because they're so good.
I know. And I know she's a super talented individual, super sweet, but like, it's just never been like my alley of books. So, I mean, I have to pick it up.
We talked about her on a live the other night, me and Kat, and I said, we were talking about our favorite Colleen Hoover books, and everybody's always shocked to find out that All Your Perfects is one of my favorites.
Why are they surprised about that?
I guess because everybody more or less likes Ugly Love, or the one that's turning into a movie, or one like that. And I'm like, no, I want All Your Perfects.
Oh, you see, mine is Hopeless.
Ooh, okay. See, I love Hopeless too. I have yet to read Verity though, and I want to read Verity so bad.
Yes, that way I need to just get on it. I just need to do it because, yes.
People wonder where her twisted mind comes from. Her TikTok, she posted a TikTok tour of her house, and she has creepy as shit in her house.
Because Taryn sends her creepy ass shit.
Yeah, Taryn, look, I just had this conversation with somebody about Taryn Fisher and to her sending weird ass gifts. One time she sent Taryn a placenta and a candle, and Taryn was on Instagram saying, why am I friends with Colleen Hoover again? Because she sends me a placenta, a candle shaped like a placenta.
That's epic.
She's so good at gift giving.
I would have gifted somebody that. I would have. Also, I just unlocked a piece of your zodiac that I am narrowing down off of
something. Okay. Said. Woohoo.
Let's see if you're right. Are you a plotter, a pantser, or a planter, somewhere in between?
Complete pantser. So I just get little scenes, mm-hmm. and then I start, and then let the characters just kind of take it from there. So
must be nice. Somebody teach me how to do this, because I could never. Oh my God.
I can't.
Well, it's weird because shit happens and you don't even know that it was going to happen. So like, there's a fight in Tragically Beautiful between the brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm like typing and I'm like, what the fuck? They're going to fight.
We're going to have them fight each other, apparently.
Yeah. And so it just kind of, you know, things kind of, and then sometimes things take a really big tangent.
Mm-hmm. Me.
And then it's like, shit. Now, how do I get back to where I need to be for the scene that I had planned.
We took a very, very hard right, and we need to come back to the road. So do you have any interesting writing quirks when you're writing, like eating a Twizzler or, you know, drinking a certain type of soda?
I don't. I'm really boring. I do have to have a drink with me. So if I'm writing in the morning, I always have my coffee.
Yep.
And, but other than that, it's just having a drink. I always have to have water, wine, coffee with me.
Something.
That's pretty much all I drink.
Oh my God. Wine, coffee, water. That's a good, that's a good treat. It's a good trio.
I'm still amazed by your TikTok from last, I think, what was it last week with the mimosas?
What was it?
Yeah. You know what? My husband helped me with that one. He was like, no. And he starts moving my tripod.
Oh, what?
He's like, no, you have to show
TikTok them. And watch it.
We love a supportive husband.
He was like, oh no, you have to show the bottle. And he starts moving the Prosecco bottle. And he's like, no, they need to know it's grapefruit juice. And
oh my God. We love a supportive husband. What do you like to do when you're not writing?
I don't have a time when I'm not writing except following the teen around or chauffeuring her around. I'm her chauffeur.
No. No,
so really,
you're
it's
not writing, you're not working, and not chauffeuring somebody around. What do you like to do?
I'm reading, and I do work out. I do my yoga, or I'll do jogging and things because I like to eat and I like to drink.
Same.
So I need to be able to.
For real.
I have to offset it somehow.
For real. Got to offset all those carbs. What does your family think about your writing, and if any of them read your books?
Okay. My dad has read my books.
Oh, I would pass the book out. There's no way. Great soul, honey.
So, my first book, my mom read it first. And she passed away 2 years ago. So she was only able to read my first one. Mm-hmm. My dad has read the three that are published, but I specifically told him he cannot read The Summer Coming Out because that one's a very, very steamy one. So I told him he's not going to read that one. And he's not going to be gifted a copy of that one.
I would never.
But he's a supportive dad, and it's so funny. So, you know, he read, when he first read Beautiful Collision, he's like, oh, I like the way you change the points of view. And that's all he said about it.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. Appreciate that.
My sister's read my books, and she's, you know, my cheerleader. Now, my husband doesn't read, so he hasn't read any of my books, but he does come up with titles and different things in the books. And the teen hates it. The teen thinks it's embarrassing.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious.
How old is the teen?
15.
She's a freshman in high school. I would 100% be like, yo, my mom writes books.
No, she hated the TikTok with the mimosa.
Oh, no.
Like, how embarrassing. What did my friends run into it?
Oh, no. Then your friends better like it, like and comment. Keep it on the For You page for the algorithm. That's what I would say. All right. Oh, God. Okay. So that is all for me for my writing questions. Stevie is now taking her portion of the show with the reading questions about all kinds of fun things about books.
Okay, go.
All right. Has a book ever changed your life? It doesn't have to be some sort of big dramatic change of life. It can be some
small change, minor
small
change.
Mindset.
I can't think of anyone that has like changed a mindset or anything.
When I read Paper Towns by John Green, I started remembering cool things about people's last names. So, I mean, there's that. That changed my life.
I think I want to say, like, the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. Just because there are so many scenes in it and friendships and all of that that just kind of transcend every, you know, way of life or whatever. And so like that one, I always go back to.
Yeah.
So, and like, I even got my first tattoo. So when my mom passed away, I had, she is the one who made me read the Harry Potter series. Oh. I was like, no, it's, you know, what is it? Middle grade. When the first one came out, I was like, I'm not going to read that. That's, you know, I'm a romance reader. And I got hooked. Like, I'm like now big old Harry Potter nerd. And so I got a tattoo, my first tattoo with the always from.
No, don't do me like that. No, that's the best scene. That's the best scene. Sirius Black. Listen,
yes.
Sirius Black. Severus Snape is my favorite character of all time. He is the reason. No, that's not. He is not. He is one of the many reasons why I have always been a fan of the anti-hero.
Oh, yeah.
I have always been a fan of those. Man, I'm telling you, those are the best characters.
Harry Potter fans.
Oh, wait. What's your house? What's your Harry Potter house?
Well, I always like to say that it would be Gryffindor, but I don't think that I'm brave like that. So...
Okay, so here's what you have to do. You have to go to Pottermore
and take it
and take the quiz, and it will generate your house for you.
I think she's a Ravenclaw.
See, that's who I think I would be too. Just
I think you're a Ravenclaw.
MJ's a Slytherin, and I am a Gryffindor.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with being a Slytherin. We are not. Listen, we're not all like Draco Malfoy. Let's just all put that into perspective for
everyone. We decided today that we're going to take a girls' trip to Harry Potter World with our little group.
And everything.
Yep. And we're all going to go.
We get the tie, everything, all of it.
That's where I got my Harry Potter shirt when we took our trip.
Oh, I'm jealous. I want to go so bad.
I have a best friend. His brother had a Harry Potter themed wedding. And for their honeymoon, they were going to Harry Potter World because it was right after it opened. Mm-hmm. And I had custom shirts made for them for their honeymoon that said, "She's a catch and he's a keeper."
Oh.
And on the back, it said, it said just married in the Harry Potter font. And it had the golden snitch in the.
That is so cool.
They took pictures at the bus and with the guy that stands outside the bus there, and they had their shirts on, and they're like all proud, and we talk about it all the time because I had pillowcases made for them too for their house.
I love that
same thing. So that's cool. What attracts you to a book? The cover, the blurb, or a recommendation from somebody?
Okay, I'm a cover whore.
So
same.
I really am. So if it's something I haven't heard of, nobody has recommended anything, if it catches my eye, if the cover catches my eye, I'll read the blurb and, you know, but the cover has to catch my eye. Now, there's been books, of course, that the cover is just a cover for me.
Yeah.
But if a friend recommends, then I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'll.
She'd probably like your cover then.
Oh, listen, I dead ass saw a cover on Instagram, fell in love with it. I don't even know what the book's about. I know it's romance and that's it. And I bought the book. It's Fables and Other Lies by Claire Con. I don't know how to say her last name. Beautiful cover. Beautiful. It's on my shelf.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Haven't even read it. Don't even know what it's about. Never read the blurb. Never even read that author before.
But it'll look good on Bookstagram.
Right, that's what I'm saying. All right,
I always said bring up her cover because her cover for her new release is so good that I think that's what people are going to see, and if they're a cover, they're going to go buy this book.
Stop.
She's in a mood today because Arcs went out.
It's watercolor, so it's different. It's not. Yeah, and it's watercolor, and it's got a guy on it too, so.
There you go.
Best of both worlds for me. Next question, Stevie.
Who are some of your favorite authors to read?
Well, we've already mentioned Colleen. Mm-hmm. And I started reading a lot of the OG indie authors before. So Rebecca Donovan, Jay Sterling, Molly McAdams.
Oh, we love us some Jay Sterling.
Jen Cooksey. So I was reading a lot of those like way back when, because that had just gotten my Kindle, and like they would, the recommended for you, how it comes up. Yeah. And so it was just like click, 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 click. Now I've just started reading all the up and coming indies. Yeah. So there are so many that I have just been reading, and I try not to read. That's not the right. I'm trying to read so many different people that I have not stuck with one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
So I'm just trying to give back to the community with, you know, reading and reviewing and trying to, you know, help fellow indies out.
You should read Saffron Camp.
Okay, message me that one, because I'm gonna forget. Camp
is the love of my life. I love her. Long time. We're friends, and she's amazing. She's fabulous. Like, I mean, like, I love her.
Jen Sterling is also a friend of ours.
She
is crazy.
Yes, and I saw her on TikTok Live with who's the lawyer?
Oh,
yes. God. Her and her Hollis Hole.
Stresses me out, bro. I love Jen so much. She's got no filter.
Look, we're in a group chat with Candy Steiner, Willow Winters, and Jen Sterling.
My heart just beat
like and twice. Those three are the funniest people you could ever be around.
For real. They're really funny.
I would think so, because there's like no filter, right? Like,
no, not at all.
Whatever they think is just like,
Jen, especially, bro. I love it about her, man. She's so
funny. Jen just pops off about the most random things, and then like her episode will probably be one of the most played episodes forever, because she went off on so many tangents about afterlife and
with me, of course.
She was telling MJ to stop, and she was driving her crazy, and like we were laughing so hard to the point where I had tears coming out of my eyes by the end of the episode. So do you prefer e-reader or physical copy?
Both. So I prefer to read on my e-reader because it's so easy to carry around. It can fit in all my purses.
Right.
But I like the shelves. I like to be able to look at the books on the shelf. So
same.
I have to buy two copies. So I buy the ebook copy, and then I end up buying the paperback copy. That's
literally me, my life. And if it's a good cover, I'll buy it before I even know what it's about.
That's what cover whores do.
For real. I mean, if it's a good cover, you sold me. Paperback, give it to me.
Like Willow Winter, she's like, I'm a cover whore. I'll buy the cover before I even write the book.
I bought this book, Den of Vipers. Beautiful. Look at it. Gorgeous.
It is.
Right?
Yes.
I read this. I knew what it was about, but I bought it before I read it. And then I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is, I love it so much. So we got lucky on that one. But yeah, I bought that one. I saw it and I was like, bro, gorgeous. Buying it. Add to cart. It's a problem. My husband, God, Lord, love him. He like, I will buy some off Amazon, and then we'll go to like Books A Million, and I'll buy a shit ton of them. Come home, and like 2 weeks late, like 2 weeks later, there's like a shit ton more arriving by Amazon, and he's like, "You just bought books," and I'm like, "Yeah, but I had to get the ones off Amazon."
Okay, so have you ever bought a book because of the cover that you ended up not liking?
Absolutely. I'm looking at one dead ass on my shelf right now. Absolutely. And I think that's only happened. So I read two genres. I read horror, and I have two shelves that I'm looking at and I'm pointing at. You can't see it right now. I read horror, which is my horror shelf, and then I read romance. And so it's never, when I read horror, I don't go off of the cover. I go off the blurb. But romance, I usually go off the cover. And I think it's only happened one time that I bought a book based on the cover and hated the book. Hated it. I'm looking at it right now. I might tell you what after this.
See, that's happened to me. But it was one of the, what is it, nonfiction books. So, but it had a gorgeous cover.
I'm going to keep the book because I love the cover. I don't plan on buying, I don't know, but the rest of the covers in the series are so beautiful too that I'm like, but I don't want to do it because it's just, I hated it. God, I hated it. All right, moving forward before I get myself in trouble.
What was your last 5-star read?
Okay, I'm not kissing ass right now, but really, MJ was my last one.
Ah, yes! Oh my God, don't tell me like that!
Because I got my new book boyfriend.
Oh my God, I think you're the first person to ever come on here and say that. I'm blushing.
And because I just recently read it, so like that was the last one.
It's Nico that she's talking about, by
yes.
the way. Nico's everything. Yes. Didn't even mean for him to be everybody's book boyfriend.
Stupid. He was mine, and I was the beta read for that book. The minute she sent me the prologue, and I was like,
Nico?
I was like, oh my gosh, like, I love that. And now, okay, here's, I'm going to go off on a tangent.
Okay, go ahead.
He's like a cinnamon roll, but I hate that freaking word. Cinnamon. I don't like cinnamon roll. I don't like when they describe the male characters as a cinnamon roll. Why can't they just be gentlemen?
I described Nico in future books as a golden retriever, but, and I think I'm pretty sure I did that too. He looks like a golden retriever. He's a golden retriever and he looks like a German shepherd.
I'm like,
no.
You can't do the cinnamon roll. I even wrote a blog post complaining about that, but that's who he is. I mean, he's strong and confident and just, but then has that sweet and soft and just, side.
It's because his mom's a baker. His mom's a baker. That's what it is. Nope. I mean, when I wrote Riggs and Nico, so Riggs came to me first before Nico. Side note, this is something that I tell people all the time and they literally faint. Nico was supposed to be Riggs was supposed to be Valor's boyfriend in the first book, and I don't know if you've read that one or not, but was supposed to be Valor's boyfriend in the first book, and then I ended up changing it. But Riggs was first, like her character came to me first, and knowing like how she is, and if you've read the book, then you obviously know how she is. Yes. She's very like independent, very strong, very like I don't give a shit, and I could not pair her with another, like Nico's very alpha male in certain situations, but he knows when to let Riggs be alpha female.
Yes.
So I couldn't pair her with another super aggressive alpha male because all they
would. She would never take it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Nico, my man, I actually wanted people to like Riggs more than the boy, like more than Nico. Because no. I was like, I would love if I could make people like a female character more than like the male character. Fuck no. Nico.
I mean, I love her to death, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's lovely. Love him to death. Swoon. Oh my God, but thank you so much. That made me so happy. That made my night. So moving on from the fangirl I just had, we're going to move on to trope questions, which is sadly the end of the podcast, but it's our favorite portion of it because we love tropes. What is your favorite trope to write and why?
I've only done 2 opposites attract, and my debut is the love triangle.
Ooh. So which one?
Well, I guess it has to be the opposite attracts, because love triangles, they have to be done very well for me to like them.
Yep.
Because if I'm going to like both guys, then how do I choose?
Exactly.
That was the problem with Molly McAdams. I liked both.
Yeah.
But then I started liking one more, you know?
Yeah.
And then breaking your heart.
For the other one, you have to have a good send off for the other
yes,
one. You can't
exactly.
just have him just disappear.
But it's like exactly. It's like S.C. Stevens when Thoughtless first came out, everybody like freaked out because they're like, oh God, who do you choose? It's always going to be Kel and Kyle. It's always going to be him.
Listen, but sometimes
people need to read Thoughtless. Like, look, I'm serious. That is a love triangle in the first book, and after that, it changes. But I am obsessed with Kel and Kyle, and it was always him from the start.
No spoilers.
And one of my friends was stressing me out with her love triangle, Maria Ann Green, with Never Would I Ever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was messaging her and texting her and telling her how mad I was at her because I was thinking it was not going to go the way I wanted it to go.
It's always.
And luckily for me and for her to salvage our friendship, it went the way I needed it to go.
Love
but what do you call it? That, yes. So love triangles have to be done well.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess opposites attract right now. Although hobby right now that I'm writing is not an opposite, it's attract. So
oh my God,
I don't know. We'll see where it goes from here.
We'll ask you in 6 months when we bring you back. We'll just ask the same question.
Stevie's going to take the next question. Also, listen, I need to pee. So Stevie, ask this question.
Go ahead.
I'll be gone in like 2 seconds. Like 2 seconds. My bladder's the size of a peanut.
What is one trope you would eventually like to write and why?
Well, you see, it's not a trope, it's a genre. I'd like to change genres.
Good.
I'd like to go to thriller. Because that's the other, you know, genre that I love to read. Mm-hmm. I bounce from romance to thrillers. So I'd like to do a thriller. I just don't know if I have it in me. That's
MJ is a huge first.
Did you say thriller?
Yes. See, I knew it was going to happen. Every time somebody says thriller or Stephen King, when she's out of the room, she comes running back.
She didn't even finish. She just came back.
It's like a back signal. Like she just.
I would sign myself up for that thriller. I love a good thriller. I love it. Write both. Write as
a romantic thriller.
Do it.
Yeah.
Like a romantic suspense.
Yes.
No, romantic thriller.
I said like a.
Like, okay, there's a difference between romantic suspense and romantic thriller.
Yes, that I do know.
Okay, just saying. All right. What is one trope you'll never write and why? Like, you won't touch it.
Why steamy?
What is it?
YA, the young adult steamy. You know how they have those high school kids that are like getting it on, that I can't do it.
Nope.
Having a kid in high school, yeah, that just doesn't
not a fan.
Doesn't mesh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mesh.
I love them.
I can't read it either now. I used to read them and I used to enjoy them. But now, nope.
I think a lot of authors say paranormal.
Which sucks, because I like paranormal. Really? And I also like young adult. I love a good young adult steamy. I love it. I love it. It's See? Like
so many people do, and that's cool. I used to too, but now
I would say like young adult. Okay, can I say like not high school? Like I like the ones where they meet high school, right? And then it progresses and it's like college. I would say like meet high school, like senior year, and then college, but I don't think I could read anything that like actually takes place in high school.
See, unless, that's more new adult, I think.
Unless the young adult is like unless now listen, people are gonna disagree with me, but that's okay. If you've ever read Gianna Darling's Lessons in Corruption, it's about this guy named King, and he's like 18, he's a senior, and he ends up with a teacher. So I could do that, young adult, but no, I don't think I could just do where they're both in high school. I don't like that. I think college, which I guess is new adult. All right, cool. All right, Stevie, and you're going to take the last question before she's going to get to pimp herself out, and I get to guess her zodiac sign, and I think I know what it is.
If you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
Oh.
I'm a billionaire.
Mine is opposites attract, reverse harem.
I still like to mesh them all together.
Yeah, you can be as specific as you like.
I think a second chance is. There's just something so swoony about a second chance.
They are. They're so good.
Yes.
I
think that's what I'd like to be in. I'd like to be in a second chance one.
I think people are often surprised that I don't choose my favorite trope as the trope I would want to be in.
Oh, nah, shit. Who wants to do that? Stevie, what? Secret baby.
Oh.
I'm a huge secret baby and like surprise baby romance. Like, I'm obsessed with them. Look, Knocked Up is coming out soon, the anthology, and I'm so excited.
Just all kinds of books about
it's going to be all secret babies.
All surprise babies.
with some of the most amazing authors in that anthology, like Nikki Ash, who was like the queen of writing secret baby books.
Stresses me out. She stresses me out with it. It's fine though. It's fine. Everybody's got their cup of tea. It's not mine. But yeah, so this has been super amazing, and we want to thank you so much for joining us on here. Okay, I'm gonna guess your zodiac sign now before I let you pimp yourself.
Okay,
I've been taking notes. You guys can't see them, but I've been taking notes the whole time. So I think you're definitely a water sign, like without a doubt. Like I know in my soul you're a water sign. And so I think that you're super compassionate. You wouldn't be a counselor if you weren't. So that means you're super empathetic to other people's feelings, which canceled out like half the zodiacs. told me I felt like you're a water sign. I think you're super understanding, and I think you're super individualistic, which means like you can stand on your own 2 feet. You kind of have your own opinions and your own person. You also said daydreamer. So I think that you are a Scorpio.
100% correct.
Run me my money, ladies. Run me the money, ladies and gentlemen.
She's pretty on point when she does this. I mean,
I was like, wow.
We had C.L. Matthews on in February, and C.L. Matthews has a zodiac chart for all her characters of her Reverse Harem series, and she had guessed every single one correctly.
Because.
Wow.
I love a good reverse harem. But yeah, no. Ha ha! Run me my money. Run me my money. I got it. My hands are sweating.
Okay, next thing you know, she'll break out the tarot cards, which happens all the time.
I was nervous for a second. But no, thank you so much for joining us. This was super fun. We leave this portion for you to pimp yourself, talk about a new release, sale, whatever you want. The floor is yours.
So thank you for having me. Everybody, don't forget, I'm Tori Alvarez. I have the Graffiti Hearts series. 2 books are out. 3rd is in the works. Hopefully, if everything goes right, it will be releasing in October. And I do have a summer release coming out, an anthology, Summer Heat, 7 steamy stories to heat up your summer, releasing on June 21st.
Thank you so much. That's all for me. Thank you so much. We hope that you have a great night.
Thank you.